Welcome to the Broncos Podcast with Troy Rank. I am your host, Troy Rank, from the Denver Post, coming to you live from outside. It is a beautiful spring day here in the North Metro. Thought I'd get a little bit of a different look for you all. I got some squirrels out here, some birds chirping. The spring, if it's starting to feel real, and man, did it get real for Broncos country on Monday or what? This team needs to improve if they're going to be a contender. They know they have to be the field that was laid bare against Buffalo. So they make two big moves, and they're trying to make a third with a tight end that may or may not happen, but make two big moves defensively. And if you look at this draft, it's not a shock they're using free agency to address the defense, but they add former All-Pro safety from San Francisco, Talanoa Hufanga. I'm going to pronounce this name right the whole time. That's Talanoa Hufanga from San Francisco, former fifth-round pick, former All-Pro a few years ago. He's battled injuries. And they add his teammate, Dre Greenlaw, to inside linebacker, who is, when healthy, really good in coverage. An upgrade there is someone to pair with Alex Singleton as they have moved on. Cody Barton signed with the Titans yesterday. So the Broncos commit $20 million guaranteed for Talanoa. They also are going to end up committing somewhere around probably $25 million guaranteed for Greenlaw. So it's an investment. I'm going to rank these moves. What does this mean? I love the intention. They're very intentional on how they're addressing these positions. We're not throwing paint up against the wall and see if it turns into a Picasso. Very specific needs and why this should work with a long dash, if healthy, with these two players. And where does it stand with Evan Engram and the tight end position? But be excited, Broncos country. At least based on my social media, fans seem to be embracing these moves. They come with risk. Anytime you bring on players who've been hurt, there's always the risk that injuries reoccur. Some of that's bad luck. Some of it's history. Some of it's all of that. But the Broncos have a history the last 2 years of keeping their players healthy. And so can they, with these two 49ers, and bringing back essentially a third 49er in DJ Jones, combine these three 49ers with one of the best defenses in the league last year and get better? Again, very interesting day, encouraging day on Monday, the first day of the non-tampering period. Remember, these signings cannot become official till 10 a.m. on Wednesday. That's when the league window opens. But the Broncos have agreed in principle on deals with a safety, with a linebacker, and they're hunting down a tight end. We're going to talk about what this means, these grades for these moves, and where they go to next. That's coming up after the break. Have you been injured in a car wreck or hurt at work? What are you waiting for? Give my friends at Hoggett Injury Law a call. Their motto, with us, it's personal. That's because it is. I've known Darby Hoggett forever. We traveled the country. We would watch our boys play basketball. I coach Jet, Darby's son, in hoops. Great kid, great family. Listen, I became good friends with Darby. Many of his clients become his good friend. Many of them never have to pay him. You know why? Because you don't have to pay Darby up front in case your case goes as planned. Darby will be the one writing checks to you. So again, if you've been injured in a car wreck or hurt at work, give Darby's team a call. That's 1-833-H-O-G-G-A-T-T, 1-833-HOGGETT, or visit the website at hoggettlaw.com. BetOnline is the world's most trusted betting platform and your number one source for online betting in 2025. Whether you're a seasoned fan or a first-time bettor, BetOnline is your ultimate game day companion. The largest selection of odds on everything from NBA and college hoops to the NHL and UFC, BetOnline continues to be your number one source for betting. From every three-pointer to hat trick, BetOnline has you covered with odds, stats, and more for every game, every play, and every win. BetOnline, the game starts here. Welcome back to the Broncos Pod. Again, thanks to my sponsors. As always, they're great. Darby's been there A1 from day one, Darby Hoggett. So thank you. See his logo down there on the bottom, Hoggett Injury Law. Give him a call if something comes up. Again, if you're injured at work, something or hurt at work, he is the best. So he is a huge Broncos fan, and like a lot of Broncos country, pleased. Now, again, there's some cautious optimism here. Let's be realistic. I'm not saying they get an A-plus for the first day of free agency, but if you look at how they address specific needs, they address safety, and they address linebacker. And let's get into Greenlaw first, because that's a position Broncos fans have wanted addressed this way probably since the departure of Danny Trevathan to the Chicago Bears after Super Bowl 50. You think I'm kidding? That was a decade ago. That was the 2015 season. Folks, it's 2025. Do the Broncos finally have a linebacker who can cover tight ends and play sideline to sideline? Well, listen, Greenlaw is that type of player when healthy. And that is the key here. When you look at what he's done in his career, he is a guy who can do real, real damage for the Broncos. But they get him on a $35 million deal, 3 years. It's 35 to 34, depending on what numbers you use. But essentially, right at 3 years, $35 million. I mean, Greenlaw, he's the guy you'll remember. If you watched the Super Bowl a couple years ago, he's going to run on the field, and he just falls down. He blows out his Achilles, such a bizarre injury. Well, last year, it totally limited his amount of time he was able to get on the field. I mean, Achilles injuries take a long time to come back from, and that's no shame on his part. But was he the same player after that? He started to show signs of that in those last couple games. But Greenlaw is not an old player. That's part of this. He's 28. Got to figure he's still got some time left, but he is going to turn 29 in May. So that's why when you get an injury like that, you got to be careful with it, but they're willing to take on this risk. He's going to be 29 in May. And you look at last season, he only played two games. But before that, you're talking about in 2022, a guy who did absolute damage for them. You're talking about a guy in 2021 who is that type of player as well. He had 127 tackles in 2022, 100 in 2023. Tackles for loss, 3 in 2022, 5 in 2023. I mean, he's a game-changing type player. And yes, he generally ranks good in coverage. I mean, Cody Barton did really nice things for the Broncos, especially after the loss of Alex Singleton. Stepped in, called the defense, was everything you'd hope for a guy who was supposed to be a special teamer, comes in for an injured Singleton and plays well. And the difference with Greenlaw, a lot of what Barton did, you need. Solid in the run game, good communicator, all those things, but you need a little better coverage. And so in theory, if Greenlaw's healthy, he should give you more range in the middle of the field paired with Alex Singleton. Remember, he's coming off an ACL injury. So they're taking risk here. They got Drew Sanders in the fold who can help maybe iron out some wrinkles if those guys need some snaps off or you need to ease them in during training camp. But both figure, I know in talking to Singleton, he believes he's going to be good to go for the start of the season. Greenlaw shows signs at the end of last season, those last couple games, that he should be fine. Obviously, they felt comfortable with where he was with his medicals to take this risk. But why Greenlaw? What is so important? Well, you look at games that the Broncos got worked, especially let's look at two specific games on what they're going to bring back into the mix on why Hufanga makes sense here too. But look at two specific games where the Broncos lost, at Baltimore and at the Chargers. In both games, they had no answers in the middle of the field. The way those offenses forced them to react, they could not cover in the middle of the field effectively enough. They got matched up weird. The zones ended up weird. And it really went back to you're trying to move chess pieces around to cover up for your deficiency at linebacker in terms of coverage. Now, with Greenlaw, if healthy, he gives you an opportunity to match up better with a tight end one-on-one where you're not having to bring Sertan into that or a safety into that, where it gives you more versatility with coverage. If you go back and look at one of the reasons the Broncos defense took a huge jump beyond the fact they were significantly improved against the run is the fact that they had versatility in coverage with Riley Moss, Jaquan McMillan, and, of course, Pat Sertan. The ability for McMillan and Moss to move around allowed them to have Pat Sertan trail more than he ever has. But now you add someone in the middle and take away a linebacker, it creates similar versatility for your safeties with Brandon Jones and, again, Talanoa Hufanga. And if Hufanga is who they think he is, this is going to make them even better in the middle of him. But Dre Greenlaw, you ask Dre, why him? Again, the age is a little bit of concern. And of course, the injuries coming off is a concern. But he's now one full season removed from the Achilles. They're taking the bet. They're rolling the dice. Bond was off the market. Nick Bolton was off the market. All these other linebackers are off the market. They got him at a deal that reflects him coming on. Frankly, Bond was at $51 million over three. You get Greenlaw for $35 million. So that's a reflection of both age and certainly injury. But for me, it's worth the roll of the dice here. It is to give improvement in the middle of the field. But it's not enough. And we knew a Broncos favorite was in trouble when this offseason began, and that was P.J. Locke. If you know P.J. Locke's story, everything about it is fantastic. Always been a guy who's trying to be like the last guy making the team. All he does is work. He's a fantastic special teams player, and he turned himself into a starter. The team moved on from Justin Simmons. They get Brandon Jones. They move on from Kareem Jackson. P.J. Locke steps in and does an admirable job. But if you watch the games with a critical eye, he was very inconsistent and struggled at the end of last season. And they want a little better from that position. In an ideal world, Locke is a perfect reserve player. He's like when the Broncos won the Super Bowl, Kayvon Webster was their best special teams player. He could have started at corner for probably half the teams. To have a guy like P.J. Locke, if he were a tweener, where he could help start a few games here and there, or also be a guy who's anchoring your special teams, that's when you know your team is taking it that next level. When you look at your special teams guys and go, man, that guy could start somewhere. That guy could start in 10 places. And so we'll see. I mean, P.J. Locke's not going to concede anything. They could move on from him and save around $3 million in cap. I mean, he's in danger of not making the team. We've addressed this here in the pod. It stinks. But the NFL is about as sentimental as a parking ticket, folks. You know that. But why did they want to bring in a guy from the Niners who's coming off major injury? And again, the pronunciation, the last name is Hufanga. And he is a guy that kind of came out of nowhere. He's always been like this aggressive. He grew up on a farm, dirt bikes, tractors. I mean, there's this kind of organic nature to him, the long hair. He plays with a physicality. And when they replaced Simmons last year, what was the difference specifically when you watch Brandon Jones? He played in the box. He came up and made hits. It was a different kind of player. Simmons, for years, was the NFL's best center fielder. They didn't want that anymore. They wanted a change. They wanted physicality. They wanted aggression. And Jones fit that. Well, folks, that's why they got Hufanga. He is someone who's going to come up and absolutely light you up like the Vegas Strip. The question is, can he stay healthy? He's been a guy also. He had an ACL injury that derailed him. And then at last year, he had a wrist injury that caused him to miss time. And you worry about it. And the difference with him, while the risk is a little minimized with him compared to Greenlaw, is he's just so much younger. You're talking about a guy who's a lot younger that you've got to believe has a chance to get healthy and change the narrative about the last couple years of his career regarding injury. But you look at his stats, and this is a guy, he's 25 years old. He turns 26. He just turned 26 on February 2nd. A younger player. I mean, Bo Nix came out of college like 24. So, I mean, this isn't an older player, but he's been in the league already 4 years. This will be his fifth season. You look at what he did in 2022. And remember, I want to be fair here. I'm one of the first that told you about Deebo Samuel and Cooper Kupp and why I wasn't crazy about him. Their best years were 2021. So I'm not going to be a hypocrite here and say, oh, 2022, that wasn't long ago. It is. It is. The difference with him, Hufanga, is the fact that he's younger than those guys, much younger. And you're rolling the dice here on the injury. But he was first team all pro 2022. Most guys in their career never earned first team all pro. That tells you the type of impact player he was that season. You're talking about a guy who ended up with 97 tackles, 66 solo from the safety spot, 5 tackles for losses, 3 quarterback hits. I mean, he was everywhere that season, had an interception for a touchdown. I mean, the guy just absolutely did damage from everywhere on the field. And he will come up and support in the run game. He will lay the wood. they're like, well, how is he available? Why is San Francisco moving on a team that had Super Bowl aspirations a couple of years ago? Again, they're looking to reset and recalibrate. They obviously moved on from Samuel. One of their offensive linemen signed away to the Chiefs yesterday. They seem to have buyer's remorse and regret with the Brandon Ayuk contract. They're trying to reset. They're kind of over it. All the guys they've paid and starting to draw lines in the sand, and guys who've been hurt, they're willing to move on from. Sean Payton typically is one who stays away from injured players. Again, from what everything I gather, certainly with Hufanga, is the fact that he's younger and they feel like he has a chance, former star from USC, a chance to get healthy in their system, the way they run it, the way they run the practices, everything. And there's luck involved. And he plays with a violent nature to it. So, again, there's risk. But last year he comes back, he's effective, and he hurts his wrist. He only plays in 7 games. That's why, for me, I'm not saying I'm moving on from Locke just yet. Now, if you think J.L. Skinner's ready, okay. But I would try to keep Locke in the fold as long as possible before I make any decision on him. Does that mean he makes the team as a reserve, or is he a last cut of training camp? But I would like to have him as insurance, given the fact that, you know, Hufanga has only played in 17 games the past 2 years. That is a risk. But why is he here? Goes back to the middle of the field. Think about the Chargers game. Think about the Ravens game. The issues the Broncos had in coverage in those games. The issues they lacked in terms of versatility and the way they covered. Even the Bills game. The 4th-and-1 touchdown, which I don't think it was a touchdown on the Josh Allen play, that changed the game. And I talked to Locke about it. And it's not the greatest example, but Locke admitted, you know, if I'm closer to my detail for, you know, half more second, one more second, I make that play. And sometimes that's all it is, folks. That's the difference. And Locke's been a good player at the Broncos, especially when you look at his contract and the value he's given them on special teams and then as a starter last season. But they're trying to make that move and jump from a team that made the playoffs, that can be a contender, go on the road and win some big games, go on the road to the playoffs and win. Hufanga represents that kind of roll of the dice. So what kind of grade do I give those two players? I give that a B-. I give it a B-. You look at what the Bears did in revamping their offensive line. They probably got an A in terms of addressing need. In terms of need and not having to address this now in the draft, it's an A. The safety and inside linebacker aren't great in this draft. They got a couple, certainly, in the first round of safeties. But inside linebacker, this is not a great draft for inside linebacker, at least on paper. And so you address those types of needs before the draft. So I love that. What keeps this from being an obvious A and into the A is just it's the injury. It just comes with the risk of injury. And football is a violent sport. It's a car crash every snap. And you're bringing in two players who have had trouble staying on the field for the last 2 years in the case of Hufanga and the last year in terms of Greenlaw. But the upside for both is enormous. Enormous. And I think it's worth the risk. So why'd they do it? Well, I texted briefly with Vance Joseph on Monday. He's excited, as you might have guessed, but he told me the key was finding the fit in free agency is huge. And they believe these two guys fit their scheme. And it's so important that you don't bring in guys square peg, round hole, we'll make it work. They see a vision for both these players and how they will fit in the scheme. Why does that matter? Well, look at how Brandon Jones fit. Look at how Malcolm Roach fit. Look at how John Franklin Myers fit last year. Scheme matters. Fit matters. You're not bringing them in and asking them to do stuff they haven't done before. You're bringing in guys who play downhill, who play aggressive. That is what changed. That entire mindset of the Vance Joseph defense last year was aggression. Let's eat. Get the quarterback, make him uncomfortable, get downhill. And you saw it with Zach Allen. You saw it with Nick Bonito. You saw it with the Defensive Player of the Year with Pat Surtain. There was a different level of aggression and ownership. And that's what Joseph sees with these two players, Hufanga and Greenlaw. It's the fit. Can you keep them on the field? If you can, you go from a B- to an A in these signings. But that the only we're going to know is a year from now. We're sitting here and seeing how many games these two log. Because if they play, they will play well. The issue is, will they be on the field to play well? But what other position do the Broncos need? What other moves are they looking at? Well, they hosted Evan Engram yesterday, a surprise visit. He got there on Sunday. Tight end? Yes, I know how much we talk about the tight end position. We talked about it as it relates to the draft with Colston Loveland, with Tyler Warren, with Eli Arroyo, with, and I did a long piece, if you want to see it, on Terrence Ferguson, the former Littleton Harrigan star from Oregon. Gunnar Helm. There's a couple of different ways, folks, they can do this. If you're asking me how they should do this, you take the Noah's Ark approach at tight end, and even running back, but certainly tight end. Two of everything. Go out and sign Engram if you want. Go out and sign Juwan Johnson if you want, and then draft a rookie. If you sign a veteran tight end, it allows you to be aggressive in the first round at running back, and you can then get Terrence Ferguson, I think, in the early third round. You don't have to kick a tight end in the first. And maybe you don't want to. If Loveland and Warren off the board, you're like, it's just not the value at 20. I'm not going to take Arroyo at 20 when I feel like I could get him in the second round, or maybe at 51, or I can get him in the third with Ferguson. I think Ferguson will be there in the third. So there's different ways to address this. But they had Evan Engram in for a visit. Now, this guy is a high-volume target guy for Jacksonville a couple years ago. I mean, 123 targets. Are you kidding me? That's an insane amount of targets. If that name sounds familiar, he had one of his best games in 2017, a primetime game against the Broncos, where he had five catches, 82 yards, and a touchdown for the Giants. It was just a devastating loss for the Broncos, who were off to a great start that season. And the Giants come in, they have no receivers. Literally, like, their top four receivers are out, their running back's out. The one guy you have to stop is Engram, and he has a big game as a rookie. And he's had a nice career. I mean, this is a guy who's had a nice career, but that game sent the Broncos into a tailspin that season, and Engram was part of that. He played well in that game. And he's a guy who's a little older. He's 30. He'll turn 31 as the season starts in September. But you're talking about a player who's just a high volume. He almost plays the position like a slot. Last year, he only played 9 games. He had 47 catches, 300-plus yards, a touchdown. The year before, though, you're talking about a guy who had 114 receptions, 963 yards, 4 touchdowns, 47 first downs. That is an insane number for a tight end. And the year before that, 73 catches. So, again, they hosted him. They're like, why didn't they sign him? Obviously, now he's coming off a shoulder injury. There must have been something. There's enough there that anytime you get a guy in your building for a visit and he leaves without a contract, two things are at work. One, maybe three. One, you're just so far apart on the contract demands, which is unusual because usually you know the framework before you host someone on a visit. Two, there's an injury concern. Three, his fit. There's just something that doesn't fit. So it seems like to me with Engram, he wanted to keep his options open, and they let him leave because they wanted to keep their options open. So maybe there's a little trepidation on their end. Maybe there's a little on his end where they both know, hey, we kind of know we have this offer for each other that, like, we both like each other enough if something else doesn't develop. But he got out of the building without signing. So that means that they got to keep they got to be prepared to pivot. Is Juwan Johnson that guy? He's a different type of tight end, a little more physical from New Orleans. He played for Sean Payton. I would like Johnson, and you draft a guy. It can't be just one tight end. They need two to revamp that room completely. But Engram ends up leaving without a deal. But folks, deep breath. It's not over. We're talking about the second day of free agency. We'll have a pod later in the week. That's the plan, at least, where they should be able to address it. And they still have the draft. The running back position and the tight end position are going to be priority 1A and 1B, or flip it in the draft. You've got that option with Amarian Hampton. Maybe they go crazy and move up for Ashton Jeanty. There's a lot of possibilities on the table, but if they don't get Engram, it doesn't mean that it's over at tight end. This isn't a one-shot thing. This draft is loaded in tight ends, and you still have Johnson out there, so there's a possibility you can get him and pair him with a rookie. That's what I would do, and I would look to do something similar, frankly, at running back. bring in a veteran just to help ease it and bring in Hampton or even Agenti would be the guy. Obviously, he's that good, but we don't know. It just the idea he's I can't see any scenario where he's available at 20. You'd have to move up and get him. But in general, when we talk about that's what that headline is, what's next? You've moved on. Javonte Williams has agreed to a one-year deal with the Cowboys. I wish him nothing but success in his career. One of the best guys on and off the field with his work ethic. It wasn't working out here. I mean, essentially a guy was averaging 3.5 yards per carry, kind of lost his job by the end of the season. His role needs to be Samaje Perine. And I said that. In the face last year, no one listens to me. I get it. He's a third down back who's great in pass pro. That's his role. He's not an every down back. Maybe he shows that in Dallas. He was not an every down back here. It wasn't. He moves on. Cody Barton moves on to the Titans. And then you look at early here on Tuesday morning, Riley Dixon, the punter, is now signing a deal with the Bucs. So they have to replace their punter. And that's not a shock to me. You bring in and revamp the entire coaching, special teams coaching staff with Darren Rizzi and crew. And Dixon, he's a nice player. He's just inconsistent. I've said this, and it was at CU when I covered the Buffs with Tom Ruin, and with the best Broncos teams with Tom Ruin was part of that, those Super Bowl teams. Your punter at altitude's got to be one of the best. He's got to be one of the best. And Dixon was just inconsistent. He wasn't bad. He was just, you always felt like you'd see it. And like, man, this guy could be a dominant punter if, you know, if those exist. I'm not saying he needs to be Ray Guy, but he just is inconsistent. And sometimes some of his worst punts were at the worst possible times. And again, as you're trying to take that next step, you're pushing these chips in, you're looking for an upgrade, and they might regret it. Again, they might regret taking these gambles on two injured players and moving on from a punter that was pretty good. But as you're trying to get to that next level, you're just not looking for okay and just a little above average. You're looking for guys who are impact as you try to unseat the Chiefs, as you try to navigate an AFC with Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, even in the AFC West now with when you've got Pete Carroll there with Geno Smith, Justin Herbert with the Chargers with Harbaugh, and the division itself is going to be a UFC cage match. You can't stand pat. You're not going to win 11, 12 games standing pat. And the Broncos are taking risks, folks. So it starts on day one. They add a couple of players in Dre Greenlaw, and they add the safety, Hufanga. Both these players, when people ask you why, it's to address issues in the middle of the field. It's to create more physicality. It's to create sideline to sideline speed. It's to play downhill. It's to fit. It's to incorporate these guys into a downhill aggressive scheme to make what was a very good defense even better. Can they stay on the field? If they do, these are A-plus signings. Right now, I give them a B-minus. I love the intent. I love what they're doing. They're going to probably get at least a tight end. And then see where you stand when you get to the draft. Because remember, you don't have to address all your needs in free agency. This is not a great free agent class. If their free agency ends with getting a tight end and a punter, that's a good free agency, given where they're going to be able to address needs in the draft. So I hope, folks, you're having a wonderful day. Broncos Country, I could not do this pod without you and your absolute great support of this pod. It's an exciting time for Broncos fans when I'm out and about at the store or taking the Bentley, the Bulldog, for a walk, and how people are starting to feel about this Broncos team, that you're not getting catfished anymore. You got a quarterback, you got a coach, you got an owner, you got a GM. There's an alignment in all these groups, and you got this single-mindedness that they're not dealing with distractions anymore. They're trying to win. They're trying to win now. It's not at all costs, but they're trying to put themselves in position to take that next step. They get two players on Monday. We'll see where it ends by the end of the week. Folks, thank you again. I could not do this pod without Mile High Sports, Big A behind the board, and, of course, Nate Lundy at Mile High Sports, Darby Hoggett from Hoggett Injury Law, and our new sponsor, Bet Online. Broncos Country, I do this pod for you. Happiness that begins with me. Go out there and have a great day.